Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
In this world appear and bring the
well, this hour couldn't get here fast enough for all of us. Yes, it is Silly Underdog Picks. Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. On this Thursday afternoon, we'll try to make the review as quick as possible because just like after a loss in sports, the best way to get over that loss is to play next week and try to get a W. And that's what we'll try to do. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, the commissioner, Willie Donick, is here. Now we say hello to probably a sour bunch. Let's start with forever Titan Chris Sanders. And
First of all, I want to start this conversation off. I do not like any of y'all. I mean, I'm just going to start that off right now. I just don't like you guys right now. I'm upset. I mean, I had to go through therapy. I met with Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Phil. I mean, it's gotten that bad. I mean, I even went to my mom and like, Mom, you know, what is going on? She's like, baby, what's wrong? I said, I'm losing in Silly Duck Underpick. She said, what place you in? She said, last. And she's like, baby, you do suck. I'm like, okay, thanks, Mom. Appreciate it. So she just adds more fuel to the fire. But guess what? It's another week, baby. And guess what? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have any confidence right now. I'm trying to build it up.
Just for everybody out there listening, Chris has petitioned us to have all of his picks to this point to be just against the spread instead of the team outright winning. We have granted him that, and he remains the same in the standings. But he cannot get that moving forward.
You
can't even get a game to cover. Forget trying to get an outright winner. You can't even get a cover.
Hey, who won last year?
But anyway, okay, I know. We go to last year a lot with you. Let's bring in the former quarterback, Kelly Holcomb, who probably will be sour too because he started off right out of the gate sideways because his game that he picked was postponed. Kelly, how we doing?
Yeah, that was absolutely ridiculous. I'm just sitting there, and then all of a sudden Willie wants to ruin the day for me and say, hey, your game's postponed. Pick another one.
Hey, don't hurt the messenger, man.
I mean, it's just – I understand that, but, I mean, it just threw me for a loop, man. I have a hard time functioning like that, man. I have my spreadsheets out. I have everything going, and then we have a game postponement, which is absolutely absurd. So, I don't know. It was awful. It sucked, and let's just move on to the next week.
Yeah, is that really true,
I have to say,
though?
I sensed that Kelly was a little rattled when he had to scramble to get another pick.
Yeah.
But this is what we have to do. I mean, this is what the virus brings us, and – Kelly, maybe you learn from it. Maybe next time this happens, you'll have a second backup pick ready.
Yeah, just a halftime adjustment, man. You got to make a halftime adjustment.
That's right.
Never had to make a halftime adjustment like that in Silly Underdogs.
Man, quarterbacks always whine.
You got to win a game before you can talk.
Hey, who won last year, mister?
Who won last year?
It's last year.
What happened last year,
If we were doing this on Zoom, would you really have spreadsheets laid out?
Me?
No, Kelly.
Oh, me? Nah, I wouldn't. But,
I didn't think
I'm going to live it up, dude. You know what I'm saying?
You painted a nice picture for radio, but I don't think any of us believed it.
Absolutely. I'm not like the general. By the way, has anybody talked to the general lately?
We
need to check in
lately.
About the general?
I don't think. No, I haven't talked to him lately. It's been a while.
I talked to another former member of this contest the other day.
Yeah.
Who had some shots at Kelly, as he usually
sure
does.
I'm sure that's Mr. No Wardrobe Have Himself, George Black.
Cannot confirm nor deny.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the laughter confirmed. Kamish, I will turn it over to you.
All right.
Let you do the dirty work.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your commissioner speaking.
By the way, if you tell Alexa to play Willie D, does she actually play this song?
I think so. I think so. It's a very popular song.
If so, do you do that at home? Do you do that with Alexa when nobody's around?
I don't have Alexa.
No.
Okay. I have to manually plug in the songs. I'll have to see. I have to find. It's my brother that actually sent me this song once upon a time years ago. And he said, you got to play this on the radio show. I was like, all right, why not? So
it worked out.
2020, silly underdog picks. Week number 6 is in the books. Let's first look at our online contest at thegamenashville.com. We encourage you every week to play. New prize every week. No penalty for going 0-for or anything like that. Jump on in there and make a pick with us. Have some fun. The most popular pick last week was Boston College, who came up short against Virginia Tech. 32%, almost one of every three, selected that as one of the three picks. Remember, you can pick college or pro. So all three of the most popular picks were college picks. Pittsburgh at Miami was the second most popular. And then the third most popular was Mississippi State at Texas A&M. 24% had the Bulldogs trying to bounce back, and that did not happen. Our winner, however, had an excellent week, Heather Buckley, who hails from Manchester, Tennessee. Congratulations to Heather, who has won the weekly prize. So everybody's back in the hopper for this week. Good luck, and keep playing with us. Now to the insiders. For week 6, this is what we had. Chase McCabe had the first pick. He went with the very popular pick of Mississippi State. Looking for the bounce back, 5.5-point home dogs against Texas A&M, coming off the emotional win against Florida. But the Aggies got it done. 28-14 was the final. Pretty decisive win for Texas A&M. So Chase comes up empty there. And Chase, unfortunately for all of you guys, this is going to be the start of a theme here.
Yeah.
Coming up short.
Especially when you get to my NFL pick.
Kelly Holcomb had the second pick. He selected a game that I'm sure all of you were so disappointed that you couldn't watch it. It'll be pushed back to later in the year because of COVID-19 issues. UTEP. A 6.5-point dog against Southern Miss. Hopefully we get to see that game in December. But in the meantime, Kelly had to make a backup pick. And he selected Duke, a 4.5-point dog at North Carolina State. Duke led at the half and only trailed 21-20 heading into the final quarter. But the Wolfpack pulled it out, 31-20. So Kelly had the winning streak snapped. He had won 4 straight.
Yeah, and once again, who cares? Let's move on.
Well, it wasn't a bad pick, Kelly. You had a chance there. Coach Cutcliffe was right in the running.
It didn't win, so let's just go on.
Well, you're going to look very good in comparison to this next pick. Chris Sanders selected, trying to get a spark, selected UMass in their season opener. The Minutemen were 31-point underdogs. 31. I don't know that I can remember a player in the underdog contest selecting a bigger underdog. 31 points to the underdog at Georgia Southern.
Didn't even cover.
They lost 41-0. It was 31-0 at the half, and that's when I texted the group and I said, oh, boy.
Shut up.
A little struggle bus for the Minutemen in the opener. Maybe they always say, though, Chris, that between week 1 and week 2 is your biggest improvement. So maybe UMass in week 2.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate the confidence.
I'm just trying to help you out, man. You got to get a win.
Like I said, who won last year?
Yeah, that magic is gone. Magic is long gone. Oh, no rabbits coming out of the hat this year.
Okay.
No rabbits.
Darren McFarland had the fourth pick. He went with UT San Antonio. That would be Texas San Antonio. 7.5-point dogs at home against Army. And Army went in there, took care of business, 28-16 in very Army-like fashion. Darren, did you watch the game? Because none of us did.
No.
I was wondering if you could fill us in on anything that happened in that game, because none of us watched it.
No.
You just saw the score?
No,
and said,
we had a baseball scrimmage. No, I didn't watch that.
Okay. It was on TV. We documented that, right? CBS Sports? Yep. Network? Okay. Well, maybe somebody can call us if they watch it. There's probably an Army grad out there that was very interested in that game as Army got another win.
I think it was 14-10 at the half, so I felt, okay, all right. And then it just,
right.
ETSA
and no.
didn't do anything in the second half.
Darren, you also had the first pick in the pro round, and you went with the Browns, who
Ooh.
Had been red hot. 3.5-point dogs in Pittsburgh against the Steelers, and it was no contest. Steelers right out of the gate absolutely blasted the Browns 38-7. A humbling loss for Cleveland, and the Steelers go to 5-0. So, Darren, that one never had a shot.
No chance.
What
I remember Kelly wanted that one. You should be glad I took that one from you.
I did. I at least had a chance in my other one.
Yes, yeah, you did.
This is true. We'll get to that. Chris Sanders, trying to get on the board in the pro style, again went with the big dog. He went with the Jets, thinking it can't get any worse. They've got to somehow put a good run in here. Maybe Joe Flacco can spark them. A 9.5-point dog down in Miami against the Dolphins, and the Jets didn't score. So Chris Sanders had two picks. Neither of them scored. 24-0. The grand total 65-0 in the two picks for the defending champion. Chris, come on.
Man, when you make it sound so bad, none of them scored. I mean,
your teams didn't even
didn't
score a point.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Kelly Holcomb had the
That's
next
Chris's
pick.
Year.
He picked two teams that got shut out.
That's unbelievable, man. That's all right.
It can't
By
go anywhere
Georgia,
but up.
Georgia Southern and the Dolphins.
Oh, boy.
It's not like it was Clemson and Pittsburgh. My goodness.
Thank you.
Kelly in the NFL went with the answer to who's your favorite football team? Football team. Washington football team, 2.5-point dogs in the Meadowlands against the Giants, and the Giants got their first win 20-19. The football team was right there, but couldn't pull it out, and somebody is going to win the NFC East. But will it be either of these two teams? I don't know. Kelly, but you were right there. Came up short.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ron Rivera, like, why not extend the game? He goes for two.
Yep.
Yeah, that came under some heat there.
The game, like, it's the pros. Let's extend the game and then go to overtime. And then he goes for – I don't know, whatever.
What's his nickname?
I don't remember. I know he goes for it a lot. I know he
– Riverboat Ron.
Riverboat
yeah,
Ron.
Riverboat Ron.
That's right. I do remember that. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I don't – you know, that's his M.O., but good Lord, just extend the game, please.
Jace McCabe had the final pick. He went with the Bengals, an 8-point dog in Indy against the Colts. And lo and behold, while the Titans were playing their game against the Texans, the Bengals are building a 24-7 lead.
That was, wait a minute, 21-0.
They were up 21-0.
Yeah, it was 21-0.
21-0 and 24-7 well into the second quarter. Colts end up winning 31-27. The Bengals hit a wall. Chase, what happened? I guess right. I was monitoring, but I didn't watch a whole lot.
I was feeling good, but I also had they are the Bengals, and the Colts aren't a bad team. But it was like there was that false hope for a while of, man, I'm going to hit this. I'm going to hit my underdog pick. And, yeah, that didn't happen.
And that would have been a huge loss for the Colts in the division race against the
Titans. A huge win for me in the contest. Because
that could have been a double
The rest
boost,
of you guys.
And it didn't happen. So, for the first time this year, and this is saying something, the picks have been pretty good. The squad goes 0-8 combined. So, we'll look for better things for Week 7. That's coming up next. So, stay with us. Silly Underdogs 2020. Week number 7, the leader in the contest right now after 6 weeks, continues to be Kelly Holcomb with 38.5 points. Darren is 7 points behind with 31.5. Chase with 22.5. Chris Sanders looking for better things in week number 7. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on 102.5 The Game.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
When criminals in this world appear,
it is time for Silly Underdog Peaks. Week number 7, as we get going here, the order will be this. Kelly Holcomb will be picking first. He is the current leader. Chris Sanders in last place, picking second. Darren McFarlane, third. Chase McCabe will have the last pick in college and the first pick in pros, and then we snake back the other way. So, With Kelly leading the competition with 38.5 points, he is up first.
We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Chris sucks.
Hey, Willie, since we started talking about your song, does your wife actually play the song when y'all go out on a date or something? Does she play Willie T?
She hasn't done that. You know, it's a great idea, though. I should suggest that to her next time we go out.
That is a great idea.
Open the windows, just crank it up, cruising down the street.
Little Willie T action, going to Crystal's, baby. Let's go.
Going to Crystal's.
I've got two right here that I'm not sure. One's a Big Ten game, and it's a home dog.
Oh, I know.
The other's an ACC game. So I'm just going to go strictly on points here. And I'm going to say that the Demon Deacons of Wake Forest beat Virginia Tech.
Wake Forest is an 8.5-point home dog taking on number 19 Virginia Tech. The Hokies coming in at 2-1. Wake Forest at 1-2. Was that on anybody's radar?
No.
Yes. There's actually the biggest, you know, there's actually a lot to choose from this week for the first time this year.
Yes, an expanded schedule, no question about it, which is, we're all excited about that. All right, so the pick is marked down. The Demon Deacons it is. We move to Chris Sanders.
Ah, oh, shoot, wrong one. Sorry.
Oh, no. Whoa, hey.
Wow.
That's cold-blooded. That looks so cool.
This song has really worked this year.
Yeah, shut up. Did I say that I don't like any of y'all? I just wanted to let y'all know that.
But hey, who won the contest last year?
Just think about it. When you're thinking about these teams, who is going to score this week? Just keep that in mind.
Easy. Well, check this out. I'm going with the Big Ten. Oh. I've got Maryland over Northwestern.
All right. Everybody's in the same boat. The unknown factor of the Big Ten having the opening week. And Maryland,
Chris, I had it marked.
Yeah, it's a good one.
The Terps are an 11-point dog playing up in Evanston, Illinois, against Northwestern, right outside of Chicago. So opening weekend in Chicago, we'll see how the Terps are able to do. I still have to remind myself that the Terps are in the Big Ten, even though it's been several years
now.
Not
bad. I looked at that one. Not bad.
Would that be, Darren, a pick that makes sense?
Well, I mean, he has had picks this year where we're just like, well, you might as well just open up the window and toss that one right out because that's got no chance. This one, I mean, you don't know.
You're telling me there's a chance.
We don't know. We haven't seen the Big Ten yet. So you don't know what any of these teams are going to look like. So it's worth a shot. Yeah.
Shut up.
All right, we move on to Darren McFarland for the – yes, Maryland's, okay, so Kelly
got to be
it
better than UMass.
I feel like they will score in the game.
Unbelievable.
All right, let's go to Darren for the third pick.
Indian Fever. It starts from the very first inning. Indian Fever. Each game is a brand new beginning. It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian Fever.
Be a believer.
The Cleveland Indians.
And that was about a three on the
end. Much peppier step there.
I know. I just
you did the drums. Where are the drums? We don't have the drums.
Yeah, come on.
I got to get back in that.
Where's the enthusiasm?
I hesitate with this pick because boy, did they burn me last week. They burned me bad in pick six. But. Gosh, you have to give them credit, but I just think this is where they stumble. This is where they stumble. They've looked good for 2 weeks. I'm going to take Missouri.
Okay, that's good.
Missouri,
good pick, Darren.
Is
good
a 5.5-point home dog as they match up with the Kentucky Wildcats coming off the big win. So two teams that are 1-2 They both had very memorable winnings. Well, they're listed on the CBS Sports as 1-2.
They are not. They are 2-2.
Hmm.
They beat Mississippi State and Tennessee in back-to-back weeks.
You are correct, and I don't know why that says that, but now I can't trust anything that is on CBS Sports. But Missouri with the big win over LSU. If they could beat LSU at home, can they beat Kentucky at home? We'll find out. Missouri is the pick. That brings us to Chase McCabe for his pro pick. Or, sorry, his college pick. And then he will have the first pick of the pro.
Time to play the game.
All right. For me, I think the team I'm picking against is a fraud, and they have been a fraud for a long time. I am taking Baylor plus 9 against Texas.
Sorry, guys.
Silence.
Baylor is a 9-point dog at number 22, Texas. Texas has been in the middle of the action in a lot of the picks we've had this year. But Baylor, of course, has had issues with the virus, right? They've been missing a lot of guys. It's a little unknown what they could bring to the table here. They had a very big breakout. So Baylor is on the board. So, Chase, you now have the first pick in the pros.
All right. With the my first pick in the pros, I can't believe that I'm actually going with this team, but I'm going to go with the Jags. Plus 7.5.
Oh, I heard a gasp.
Mm.
So the Jaguars, who have really stumbled, remember I was the one saying, hey, they could be a tough out, man. They may not be that bad. When they won opening week against the Colts, and they have not won since. They're a 7.5-point dog against the Chargers, who we know have a knack for playing and losing very close games. Intriguing game. That, you guys agree?
Absolutely.
So that was on, I know, I could tell Chris wanted that one.
I did. That's what I was going for.
In the brand new stadium.
Sorry, not sorry.
We'll see how it works. That brings us to Darren McFarland for his pro pick.
You okay?
Darren, you all right?
Yeah. No, I'm
Darren, I had a dramatic pause there.
It's kind of...
We got some indecision.
Well, it's... Everything... There's a lot of low lines, which means there's some good matchups, but, you know, 1- and 2-point games really aren't going to do much. I'll go with the Raiders at home.
The Raiders playing in Vegas are a 4-point dog against Tom Brady and the Bucks, who are coming off a very impressive whitewashing of the Packers. So the Raiders and John Gruden, interesting matchup there. A rematch of the
That's
old
the
Super
Sunday
Bowl.
Night
Remember
game.
That?
Yeah, it's a Sunday night game.
That is the Sunday night game. The old Super Bowl when John Gruden, remember, had left the Raiders to go to the Bucks and coach the Bucks to the win. I'm sure that game will be referenced more than once during the broadcast on Sunday night.
Well, you know it.
That brings us to Chris Sanders, who has his final pick of the week on the pro side.
I'm going with Carolina over New Orleans Saints.
The Carolina Panthers with Teddy B at the helm.
Yes, sir.
They are a 7.5-point dog in New Orleans against the Saints. What a great test this will be for the Panthers and Teddy B against his former team. There's your storyline in that one. That brings us to Kelly Holcomb for the final pick of the week.
I think I'm going to go, you know, everybody was talking about the Pack, and I'm a big Deshaun Watson fan. I know he gets hit a bunch, but they're a home dog to Green Bay, and I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did some things against them last week that they've got to fix. So I'm going to say the Texans beat the Packers.
He likes the Texans, a 3.5-point home dog against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. The line only 3.5. You surprised it's that low, guys?
Yes.
Yep.
Very interesting. But the injuries are piling up for the Packers for sure. So let's review as we look ahead to week number 7 of our Silly Underdog Contest. Music, please. We go to Kelly Holcomb, who starts off by going with Wake Forest on the college side. The Demon Deacons, an 8.5-point dog, playing at home against The Hokies of Virginia Tech, ranked number 19. Chris Sanders goes into the Big Ten. It's opening weekend in that league. He goes with Maryland. The Terps are an 11-point dog playing at Northwestern against the Wildcats. Darren McFarland picking third. And right now in second place, he picks Missouri out of the SEC, a 5.5-point home dog against the hot Kentucky Wildcats, who are coming off the big win against Tennessee in Knoxville. Chase McCabe selects Baylor, coming off of some issues with COVID-19. They're a 9-point dog at Texas in the Big 12. Chase then comes back in the pros and selects the Jacksonville Jaguars, a 7.5-point dog, playing in L.A. in the brand-new stadium against the L.A. Chargers. That will be an intriguing matchup. Why are the Jags that big of a dog against a team that has the same amount of wins? Darren McFarland selects the Raiders. 4-point dog, playing at home Sunday night in Vegas against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Intriguing matchup. Chris Sanders, in another attempt to get on the board, he goes with the Carolina Panthers, a 7.5-point dog, facing Drew Brees and the Saints in the Superdome. And finally, Kelly Holcomb selects the Houston Texans, a 3.5-point home dog, and only a 3.5-point home dog, against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Remember, you can play with us by going to our website. You select three games, college or pro, or any mix of the two. Three total. Just get them in before the games kick off on Saturday morning. Go to thegamenashville.com to play. Those are our selections for week number 7. And gentlemen, as always, good luck.
Shut up.
Save it.
By the way, Darren, you do realize the Raiders sent their offensive line home.
Do what?
They don't need that. They don't need their line.
Good.
Okay.
They're good. Everything is fine, Chase.
Okay. Nothing to see here.
Quit trying to make me nervous. Everything is fine in Vegas. Okay.
Everything is beautiful.
Guys, good stuff as always. You have a great rest of your week.
Take care, guys.
Good luck, and we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Bye, fellas. Talk to you.
Former quarterback Kelly Holcomb and forever Titans receiver Chris Sanders. We will come back more on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what, so what, so what's the scenario? Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what, so what, so what's the scenario?
Just a moment, we'll head to Pittsburgh. We'll learn a little bit more about the Steelers team. You heard some of what Mike Vrabel said today to the media. Maybe Adoree Jackson's getting a little bit closer, possibly playing on Sunday. I kind of feel like that's where it's going. Willie, I kind of felt like you had the same thought yesterday, too.
Yeah, I think so. It just depends on... But I think if he completes 3 days of practice, yesterday, today, tomorrow,
he's playing.
Then I think he's in.
Yeah.
Now, if there's a setback, if there's swelling, there's things like that, then that's another story. But I think if he completes 3 days of practice, I think at the very least he's a situational. I think you can find a role for him, maybe where he doesn't play every down, but he can contribute. I think he would be better than your fourth, fifth, sixth corner. At the very least. And you're going to need a lot of corners in this game because the Steelers spray the ball around a lot. As we talked about earlier, they have a lot of guys that they throw to. They have 5 different players, when you include Ebron, between 24 and 28 targets through 5 games. Nobody with more than 28, but all those guys have at least 24. So there's a lot of guys you have to account for.
Are we surprised Juju Smith-Schuster is not, you know, the heavy go-to guy?
Yeah, I think that's the number one thing that pops out at you when you throw that stat out, right? That he is not a guy that's been a high volume. And I'm sure anybody who owns him on their fantasy team is wondering why that is, too.
He's got, I mean, it's like, it's not like he's done nothing this year. I know.
I mean, he's answering questions where he's saying happy to be 5-0, whether I'm getting the ball or not. I don't know about that.
I mean, his highest output game is 6 catches for 69 yards. Now, albeit he had 2 touchdowns in that game, but 69 yards receiving is not typical from what we've seen of him over the years, right? I mean,
man, no. I wonder if it's just simply he's the much highest known guy, established guy, and therefore he's getting more attention from the coverage. And each passing week that other guys like Claypool emerge, that it'll get easier for him to get open. I don't know. We've seen that happen.
And that's what we need. In fact, I'm going to ask that right out of the gate. How do you go from 2018 where you have 111 catches for a year, 111 receptions for over 1,400 yards? And last year, he missed, you know, some game. I think he missed 3 or 4 games.
Yep.
But he had 550 yards receiving and 42 catches. More than half, everything cut in half.
Three TDs.
Like, what's happened? And this year, sitting here 5 games into the Steelers, it's like, I mean, he's a target. He's not the target.
And you know what's interesting? When you look a little closer, he's getting targeted not very much, right? 28 times, which is the highest on the team. But as we said, they're throwing the ball to a lot of different guys. And he's catching the ball when it's thrown to him. 82% of the targets he's caught, but he's not getting a lot of yards. As you said, Darren, it's a lot of short stuff.
Yeah, and like you think about it, his first 2 years he had, and his longest reception was 97 yards both those years, and then 76. I mean, 26 this year, it sounds like he's not getting the long ball. You know, he's not breaking the long run like he's been able to do.
Well, let's head up to Pittsburgh. Let's find out. Let's just start there and welcome in Jerry Dulac, who covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Jerry, thanks for joining us. We were just having the conversation about Juju Smith-Schuster. And, you know, when you think about that 2018 season where he had, you know, over 1,400 yards receiving, 111 grabs. I mean, he had a monster year. And last year, everything more than cut in half. And I know this year he's been dealing with a knee injury. But what's going on? Why isn't he's a guy in that offense? He's not the guy. Why?
Yeah, good afternoon, fellas. That's a good question. You know, don't forget, in 2018, he had the benefit of playing with Antonio Brown. And he will freely admit that so much of the coverage went to Antonio Brown or rotated toward him that left Juju Smith-Schuster as a viable option. And, of course, he had Ben Roethlisberger throwing to him. Last year, he didn't have Ben Roethlisberger throwing to him, and he didn't have Antonio Brown lining on the opposite side. So quite naturally, teams would rotate their coverage more to Juju than anybody else. And this year, you know, obviously he's off to a slow start numbers-wise, but he still has that connection for Ben Roethlisberger when it matters. That's the guy he wants to look to. He's also still the guy the teams are paying attention to. Now, as Chase Claypool continues to make big plays, you know, maybe that will change. But then again, Chase Claypool's not playing as many snaps as Juju either. So there's a number of reasons for it. You know, there are people around the league who question whether Juju Smith was a number one receiver, if you will. And he has yet to have the opportunity to prove it or just even prove it on his own for several reasons. But it's something worth watching. But I think those are the reasons why his numbers aren't what they were in 2018. There's some mitigating factors there.
Jerry, you literally stole my follow-up question, because we've dealt with this here in Nashville with Titans receivers over the years. And sometimes when we thought, you know, what are they, a one or two, somebody pays them to go away to be their one, and we find out they were actually a number two. They weren't a number one. They benefited from what you were just saying that. So my follow-up was literally going to be, though, with that being said, do we think Juju's more of a number two than a number one? Because the number ones get that, you know, year in and year out, and the number ones always find a way to get open. The number ones always find a way to still have those big numbers. So is he more of a two than a one, in your opinion?
Yeah, the number ones are typically the DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, big plays down the field. And I say that, and you saw the numbers that Juju Smith Schuster had as a rookie, that he did have some big numbers, some big plays in terms of yardage. Or they're the type like Antonio Brown, who is uncoverable coming out of breaks. And Juju Smith-Schuster is neither of those types of guys, and I think that's why teams look at him as, you know, maybe not a number one. There's no question he's a really good number two. But I don't know that the Steelers are necessarily interested right now in who's one, even though he is one, he plays the vast majority of snaps, or who's two, or who's three, or maybe even who's four. Because right now Chase Claypool is four, and yet he's the guy who's making the plays. So now, when it's going to become significant is after this season, when Juju Smith-Schuster is a free agent, and then they have to make the decision, do we want to sign him to a contract as a, quote, number one receiver, or do we feel that, you know, his price on the market, might be too high, and they're willing not to go there? I think that's when it's going to be determined whether they feel he's a one or a two is after the season.
Titans took a huge blow in their win last week, their overtime win over the Texans. They lose their left tackle for the season with an ACL injury. So vitally important cog there on the offensive line. Now they'll have to figure out how to do this the rest of the way without him. A guy who's vitally important on a very, very good defense is Devin Bush. He's gone. How hard is it to try to replace him, and how will they go about it?
You know, fellas, on a defense that has three all-pros, I have always felt that Devin Bush was the most indispensable player on that defense, the one guy they couldn't lose. One, because of his abilities and his speed. Two, because of the way the game is played in today's NFL. And three, because you don't have anybody like him to replace him. And, of course, if you did, then you wouldn't have had to go get Devin Bush. And that's why they traded up 10 spots in the draft last year to go get him. They saw how long it took them to find a replacement for Ryan Shazier and what not having Ryan Shazier meant to their defense. So to me, it's a significant blow to them. It really, I think, is going to rear its head next week when they play the Ravens, because Devin Bush is the perfect type of player with his speed to spy on Lamar Jackson, much how they used him a couple weeks ago when they played the Texans with Deshaun Watson. So, to me, it's a big blow to their defense. And, you know, Taylor Lewan's going to be out. Not a good time going against this defense, which gets after the quarterback, as you guys know, better than anybody. And but for the Steelers, we'll find out going forward just how they're able to replace them, even though they can't replace them.
Jerry Dulac is with us, covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Jerry, thanks for joining us today. And I want to ask you, and this is sort of an intangible question, it's hard to know, but we saw some of the outspoken people, the frustration of this game being moved a few weeks ago and the reasons why with the COVID outbreak that the Titans had. Do you think that they're over that? Or do you think there's still some lingering bitterness that this cost the Steelers their bye week, et cetera?
Yeah, no, I think they're well past that. We heard a couple comments early on, but Mike Tomlin takes care of that very quickly. He has the guys, you know, focused on what they need to do. You know, when he was asked that following Tuesday at his news conference, hey, you might have to play 13 games in a row now. You get into the postseason. Who knows how many games that you have to play in a row? And his answer was quick and terse and without hesitation, we don't care. And that's the message he sends to his players. They will do whatever necessary. He doesn't want them focusing on that, and they don't. And that's one of the beauties of Mike Tomlin. That's why he's been so successful. He does a great job to keep his players focused on what they need to be focused on and not worry about things they can't control. And as it turns out, hey, you guys, the Titans were in a far worse boat than the Steelers. And for them to, a couple of the players to whine about it, you know, could have been a whole lot worse, as other teams have discovered.
Jerry, what can you tell us about how different the offense looks with Ben Roethlisberger now? With, you know, the repaired elbow, seems like he's getting the ball out quicker. I don't know if it seems. I think it's been documented time. They're getting it out quick. They're spraying the ball around a lot. How much of a change has this been? And it looks like he's embraced that change.
Well, I think a lot of attention is being focused on that because of his injury, that people think he's doing it to prevent harm to his elbow. And the reality is, fellas, they did that a lot before he was hurt. So it's really nothing new. And then, of course, they'll talk about how quick he gets the ball out. Next thing, it's, oh, is he reluctant to throw it down the field? Look, this isn't Drew Brees here. Ben's elbow is fine. And you know, there are quick throws and a quick passing game. They did that with Antonio Brown all the time. Get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. So it's really nothing new. I just think it's receiving a little bit more attention because people want to add two and two and get five because of Ben's elbow.
And, of course, the matchup everybody's looking at. You already gave the backdrop that we've been talking about all week. This is a tremendous defensive front that knows how to stop the run. You're going up against the number one threat running-wise in the game right now in Derrick Henry. I just think we're all really excited to just see these two go at it and see what happens.
Yeah, I agree, fellas. I'm the same way. You know, the one thing about the Steelers, they not only sack the quarterback, they stop the run. And that's kind of an anomaly, where you see teams leave themselves vulnerable sacking the quarterback. They leave themselves vulnerable and exposed to the run. And this team doesn't do that. They're second in the league against the run. They would be number one if they didn't allow a 74-yard touchdown to Miles Sanders a couple weeks ago. And I will point up the last team in the NFL to lead the league in sacks and rush defense were the Steelers in 2010. So it's a combination you typically don't see, but that's how much pressure they generate up front. You'll see them use a lot of run blitzes, and they have two big ends and two outstanding outside guys, and they're very disruptive. It's the reason why they lead the league in tackles for loss too. And a big reason for that is Vince Williams. Yeah, they're very effective in their front seven, both against the run and getting after that quarterback, leading the league in sacks and quarterback hits.
Jerry, how impressed have you been with not only just T.J. Watt and how he's grown as a player over the last 3.5, 4 years, double-digit sacks the last 2 years, 4.5 on this year, but the fact that he seems to put any, oh, you're J.J. Watt's brother, he puts that behind him, and now He's well on his way to being at the same level almost as his brother.
Yeah, he's going to be a top candidate for NFL Defensive Player of the Year because, one, of the Steelers' defense, and two, you got to, you know, typically those awards go to teams with winning records, and obviously the Steelers and the Titans have the best two records in the AFC right now. So, he doesn't let that bother him. He's proud of his brother. He's not worried about what his brother did. He played like his brother. He plays with a high motor, a lot of energy, to the point he has to take himself out from time to time because he gets so amped that he gets out of wind. But he's a terrific player on that outside. They want to sign him, and they will, to a long-term contract next year. And, the tandem with the way Bud Dupree has played the last 2 years, let's face it, it's the best outside tandem edge guys in the league. It's been quite a pairing here the last 2 years.
You've talked so much about the defense and how they've played this year and whether it's the individuals or just coming together as a collective unit, but how much have you seen Keith Butler grow as a defensive coordinator over the last six seasons Not easy to take over for a Hall of Famer like he did, who ended up coming to the Titans. But what have you seen from Butler?
Yeah, and you guys got a taste of Dick LeBeau as well, who's one of my all-time favorite people, and I don't need to speak about his record. Yeah, I think Keith Butler goes back a long way with Mike Tomlin, and he works well with Mike Tomlin. And by that, I mean Mike Tomlin has put his fingerprints on this defense, and Keith Butler does not have a problem with that. I don't think, in fact, I know Mike Tomlin didn't want to interfere with the great Dick LeBeau, and I don't say that disparagingly or sarcastically. I think that's the way he looked at it, and he didn't want to fiddle and interfere with Dick. But I think with his working relationship with Keith Butler, which goes back to 97, they were both very comfortable working together, and I think that's what you have seen. You can have all the schemes you want. You better have the players to execute it. And when you look at the players on that defense, there's a lot of talent on that defense, especially in that front seven. And then you throw Minka Fitzpatrick in the back, Joe Hayden and Steve Nelson on the corners. They're pretty darn good.
Last thing, Jerry, who's better, this 5-0 team or the 1978 5-0 team?
I'm never going to compare any team to the 78 team. The funny thing is, fellas, I thought, and they think, we're going way back, that their best team was 1976 that didn't win the Super Bowl. They just dominated teams in the last nine games of the year. I think they gave up 28 points and had six shutouts, and they lost Rocky Blyer and Franco Harris in the same playoff game against the Baltimore Colts when they annihilated them like 40-14. And then they went to Oakland without those two. Chuck Noll changed the offense, went to a one-back set, and they lost to the Raiders. But that, believe it or not, of their other four Super Bowl teams, that one was probably their best team.
Well, it's interesting because here, the team that marched to the Super Bowl the following year, I think most would believe that team was better, and they didn't get out of the first round of the playoffs. So.
Right. It happens, and then you look at what happened in 2008, fellas, when the Steelers came down there 11-3, the Titans were 12-2. The Titans handed it to them, although they came back from 14-10, I believe. And then the Titans lose in the first round of the playoffs, their first game, to Baltimore. And that brings the AFC title game back to Heinz Field, and the Steelers go to the Super Bowl after losing to the Titans. Yep.
That's exactly right. Good it stuff. Was the terrible towel game here. We'll never forget that 08 game.
That Keith Bullock and Lendell White, wiping the ground with the terrible towel, they jinxed themselves.
Yep, they weren't the same after that, that's for sure.
They were not. Jerry, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this. It should be a fun Sunday watching this Titanic matchup. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Good chatting with you, fellas.
All right, Jerry Dulac, who covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That will wrap up hour number three of today's show. We will come back, continue the discussion on the other side on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
But first, it is my time to tell you about BetMGM. They are coming soon to the state of Tennessee. They're the same people that you see them on the Las Vegas Strip, the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino. They have the sports book and the casinos all over. They are coming here to Tennessee with a state-of-the-art app that is going to be able to bring you parlay bonus payouts, in-game wagering, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Every time you make a wager, you'll earn credits in MLife Rewards, which is the exclusive loyalty program of MGM Resorts. That's going to be cool to have that in your back pocket. Every big game and every big play will mean more than ever, so get ready to experience sports like never before. Be among the first fans in the state to download the BetMGM Sports app that is coming soon to Tennessee. It'll have all sports, not just football. You'll be able to bet on college basketball, even tennis, boxing matches. It will all be there. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older. Must be present in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.